you for being a Bump2 subscriber. In this exclusive podcast, Bill and I continue our conversation. We explore the need for a sense of mission in life. We talk about our ability to change. And we share some stories from his book, New Beginnings, The Triumphs of 120 Cancer Survivors.
I think your point about finding something that's important to you is a really important one, because without some sort of greater mission, I think many of our lives lack meaning. And I think that is one of the issues that so many people face.
I think the anomie, it's well said, the anomic sense of life, if you will, that I think that pervades society. I think it's been brought home by the pandemic we're now in, that many people are beginning to think that. I mean, there are a lot, I follow the articles and the, especially on op-ed pieces of the newspapers that I like to read. And there are a number of articles about, do we really want to go back to the life we led before the pandemic? Do we really want, after winnowing our friends down to the basic few, do we really want to go back to that wider circle? And I think the pandemic perhaps has given people that sense that my friend spoke about, that sense of having survived something. When we're in the middle of it, we hunker down and we focus on what's important. And then when we get out of it, there's the question, do we want to go back? Some people will, but others won't. I know I don't want to go back to getting in the car to go to meetings.
I know, I'd rather like Zoom for that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people compare cancer and COVID, but I find them to be very different experiences.
Sure.
I think COVID is external in terms of being an experience, even if you have it or not. I mean, I had COVID, but it just wasn't a big deal. But cancer, on the other hand, is an incredibly internal experience.
Sure. It is internal. And I think if you let it express itself in emotional terms to you, then I think it becomes a life-changing experience. Stephanie, a woman I mentioned before, who had stage 4 cancer, she said, some people don't allow cancer to change them. They get caught up in the negativity and can't do what it takes to save their lives. You have to learn to pick up the pieces when they fall apart. I learned that I needed to live life exactly as it was being handed to me. Excuse me.
If you could go back and rewrite your story vis-a-vis cancer, would you?
You mean with not having had cancer?
Yeah.
If I could go back and had that choice?
Yeah.
I have to say, I don't know how this fits in with my own narrative, but I would not, for the simple reason that a very close friend, when I was diagnosed, she went to the health food store, which we had in those days, and she bought every book on diet and cancer, and she left them on my doorstep. And when I was recuperating from surgery, I went through most, you know, skimmed through most of them. And the ones on a form of veganism called macrobiotics, made a lot of sense to me. And so once I was well enough, I went out to Johnny Rockets and I had my last hamburger. And I went to the macrobiotics is well set up. They have counselors that can help you adjust and learn about this because it really is a lifestyle. So I went to a counselor and he helped me transition from the diet I was on to this macrobiotic diet. And I think the diet is basically 1/3 vegetables, 1/3 whole grains, and the rest divided by seafoods and other things, and plant-based protein. And I think as a result, I'm healthier than I was before I was diagnosed in the general sense of health. So I think had I not gotten cancer and I had continued living the lifestyle that I had, I think I would have other very serious problems at this point.
I agree. I think diet is incredibly important. And, you know, Dean Ornish did an interesting study. He's at UCSF, of men with prostate cancer. And he divided them into two groups. One group went to lifestyle boot camp. One group did not. The group that went to lifestyle boot camp had to learn to manage stress through meditation or whatever, get exercise, move towards a more plant-based diet, and connect and communicate with a peer group.
Yeah.
None of those, all their average PSAs all went down. Nobody needed any further intervention. The other group that did not go to lifestyle boot camp did not do nearly as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's stunning.
I was aware of that study, and it's a good study. For me, though, it seemed to be the diet was a list of suggestions in the sense, don't eat this, cut back on that, eat this. But macrobiotics provided me with a, how should I put it? It provided me with a structure that once you're in that, once you accept the structure and you start eating that way, you know that you have to eat this, certain amount of this, certain amount of that, certain amount of this. And that's easier. I'm not the kind of person that could say, you know, just give up hamburgers. You know, if I tried giving up hamburgers, sugar, and bread, and, you know, just eating whatever else I could find, within a month, I would say, oh, I'm feeling really lousy today. I'm going to have a hamburger to make me feel better. You know, and 2 or 3 months, I'd be back to my old diet. So I needed the structure, and the structure was very good for me. But as you emphasized, I believe the key to us surviving individuals as well as a planet is the switch to plant-based foods.
Yeah, I went vegan at one point, and I felt great, but I decided life without cheese was not worth living.
It's hard. It's so difficult. Although there a lot of advances have recently been made in beautiful, wonderful tasting cheese. Nut cheeses are quite good. You just have to give up the old test and accept the new one, the old taste and accept the new one.
Well, you know, but I'll tell you, the experiment of doing that opened my eyes to a few things. One, I didn't realize how much dairy I ate until I eliminated it. I was stunned at how much I was eating. Right. So that was a huge change. And really, over time, you're right, there's no particular guidance for us on this. You have to work your way through all this material. I moved towards a vegetable rich, a little organic chicken and fish kind of diet, you know, low glycemic, real food. And I think everybody has to find their own way. And it doesn't mean I can never have anything, because if I want something, I should have it, because otherwise I'll drive myself crazy. But it's a matter of moderation and really what your day-to-day habits become, I think.
Yeah. Indeed. I made chocolate chip cookies with my grandson the other day. Okay. I'm not going to eat one. but I made it with whole wheat flour instead of white flour. So you're absolutely right. Once you feel that you've been away from the bad stuff for long enough and you feel really healthy, it's okay to indulge every once in a while. I don't think anybody except strict adherents, fanatics, if you will say that you shouldn't indulge yourself every once in a while.
I have changed the way I indulge, though. Like, for example, if I feel like I'd really like some meat, I'll go for something grass-fed, but what I'll do is have something like a buffalo burger. There's a great place here that has fantastic buffalo burgers. So it's a slightly healthier choice, and I still get my craving satisfied.
That's great. That's terrific. You know, I was surprised to learn at how big pizza loomed in my life. I thought it'd be difficult giving up meat, but it was really hard giving up pizza. I used to wake up in the middle of the night in those first months when I transitioned to a new diet. I'd wake up in the middle of the night with pizza taste in my mouth. I dream about pizza, but I managed to get through it.
I think I was sufficiently terrified for quite a while that I was willing to do make whatever changes I had to make. Yeah, but sure. The pendulum did swing back to the middle. And I think that's more or less where you have to live and where you can live.
It makes life easier, yes. You're absolutely right.
Are you thinking about another book?
I am, but I'm a people photographer. I'm not still life, although, you know, it's fun to fool around with. I think my talents lie in photographing people, either spontaneously or set up, as this book was.
But the setups are great. I mean, these pictures are so personalized. They're just fantastic.
Thank you. I think there's on the cover, if I could just say the title, New Beginnings, The Triumph of 120 Cancer Survivors. The cover shot is of two young women, college age, jumping in the air, yelling glee. I interviewed them on LMU, Loyola Mountain University campus. They were both students there, and they were both survivors, and they became friends. They went through cancer before they went to LMU, and they became friends before they found out the other was a cancer survivor. So I interviewed them together. And at the end, you know, we're just making small talk, and I'm setting up my camera equipment and some lights, and we were sitting by a fountain. It was a little ledge by the fountain. The water, there was no water running. And so when I was ready, I looked up and I said, "So tell me how you feel about having survived an incredible experience at such a young age." And they looked at each other. They jumped up on this ledge. They held hands and they just screamed as they jumped in the air. So it became a collaboration. My favorite picture is Sophie Colby. She was the young girl who was diagnosed at age 15 months, and she was about 2 and a half when I went and interviewed her family. And I asked her where she'd like to be photographed. And so she went to her room, jumped into her crib, and dove under this host of stuffed animals and just peeked out with her face and this beautiful cherubic smile. So, yeah, a collaboration more than anything. I came of age photographically in the heyday of street photography, and I noticed that I was better, or I enjoyed more interacting with the people I was photographing. And I think this book is a natural culmination of the direction that my career took, photographically, a culmination.
If you could distill both your experience and all these experiences in this book to a few points of wisdom, what would they be?
Cancer is not about cure. It's about living as well as you can for as long as you can, and it also as fully as you can. I think none of us know, with or without cancer, none of us know how long we're going to live. And so you may as well make the most of it, because we're here, and we don't know if we're going to get another chance. Some people believe we get another chance, but we won't remember it. So I think within a moral framework, we should live as fully as we can. And also, I think for me, helping others is a big part of living fully. I think we're all connected, regardless of our experiences and regardless of our of where we live or who we are or what our backgrounds are. We're all really connected. And helping others comes back tenfold in how we then begin to feel about ourselves and our life's worth. Ed Feinstein said to me, and I love this, he said that he's come to believe in angels. So they're not angels in these long gossamer robes, but they're people who show up in our lives at the time when we are most in need of help. And they help us, whether it's a conversation or whether it's something more tangible. And he's learned that the goal of life is to become an angel for other people. And I think that's probably the essence of what I've put together based on my experiences doing this book.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.